CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events, and also what we hear in church. Is it even in the Bible at all? If you got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 888-ASK-CSN. You can be part of the program by simply calling that. Now, real quick, we don't claim to know everything, but we have been through the Bible many, many times. We're not here to represent a church denomination or a dogma. We want to tell you what the Bible says on that topic. Now, unfortunately, many denominations and cults grab a verse, a piece of a verse, or assemble a couple of verses and build entire theologies, leaving out the other parts of the Bible that bring balance to that topic. Again, precept upon precept, Isaiah says, line upon line. That's how we understand. And so hopscotching through the Bible, you can really make the Bible say whatever you want it to say. Well, I can go rob banks. The Bible says I can. I can go pillage towns. I can do whatever I want. I can break into cars. Well, where do you get that? Well, the Bible says I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. See the problem there? It's out of context. You see, the verses around a particular verse are important as the verse you're looking at. Unfortunately, many cults and many even denominations don't want to look at those verses, or what do other verses in the Bible say about that particular topic to bring balance. That's all we're trying to present to you here today. We're not trying, again, to represent a denomination. We just want to tell you, what does the Bible say? No wonder so many churches today don't teach the Bible, because if they did, it would correct a lot of the doctrine that different groups hold on to. And so that's why we want to be people of God's Word. See, when God gets a hold of your heart, gets a hold of your life, He'll change your occupation, He'll change your friends, He'll change your political point of view, He'll change a lot of things. That's what God does. See, and I begin to love the things God loves and hate the things God hates. And as we mature and we become closer to God, He begins to reveal to us more and more every day, so we can truly say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Joining us today, we have with a special guest, John Randall from Calvary Chapel, South OC, California. Hi and welcome, John, down by San Clemente. Hi and welcome.
Mike, great to be here with you today, and glad to be here with the CSN family on Tuesday, one of my favorite days of the week, and to gather together with the people of God, and just grateful to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. I always look forward to Tuesdays, and again, many of you don't know, but John has what I consider a very large church, 4,000 or 5,000 people or more, and I'm very grateful, John. And the only reason I say that is this, to come and be on the radio, I know it takes away from your duties there at the church, and I really appreciate you giving your time, giving your answers, and so I want to say thank you, and also say thank you for being on CSN 1 hour before To Every Man an Answer, and again, the program that you teach through the Bible is so appreciated, and I want to say thank you. I know people listening say thank you, and with that, 888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. To the phones we go. We have Howard on the line in Washington State. Hi and welcome.
Hi. Just a quick question. We're doing a Bible study on Revelation, and in chapter 15, at the end, it says no one can enter the tabernacle because of the cloud of smoke. Now, is that Christ doing it, or is that our Father doing it?
You're speaking, I believe, of verse 8, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, let me just read it for the advantage of the listening audience. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. I believe that, again, as we look at these judgments that come upon the world, they are directly reflective of God dealing with a God-rejecting world. And I believe that, again, God desires to take the world back. But as we all know, the world has been in opposition to God. And so, therefore, just like any of you who have children, there's correction needed for us to restore the relationship between parent and child. Well, unfortunately, people do not want to repent. In fact, many places it says that all these things happen and they still would not repent of their deeds. Your thoughts, John?
Yeah, I would agree with you, Mike, on that. It's after those judgments take place. It's interesting because, you know, when you look at, let's say, the tabernacle, for example, as is mentioned here in Revelation chapter 15, also in Revelation chapter 21, the tabernacle in heaven, when Moses was instructed to build the tabernacle on the earth in the Old Testament, God gave him a specific pattern, and that pattern was also to be applied even in the temple later built by Solomon. And why did God give him this specific pattern, want certain things in a certain place? The reason is because what was on earth was a picture of what was going on up in heaven. So the Ark of the Covenant represented the throne of God. It was the holiest of all places, and it actually represented the throne of God that was in heaven. And so there are times, Mike, when they would go in. You remember, sacrifices would be offered, things would be taking place, and the glory of God was so thick that it was like a cloud. And it says that they couldn't even, the priests couldn't even go in to minister because the cloud of the glory of God was so thick there on the earth in the tabernacle or the temple. But now we have this picture up in heaven, very similar. We have the throne of God. We have these judgments coming on a Christ-rejecting world. The work of God is being done and the glory of God fills this temple. And again, it says no one was able to enter until these things had taken place. Now the good news is later on when you come to chapter 21, right there towards the end of Revelation, it says in chapter 21, verse 3, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. No more death, sorrow, crying, no more pain, former things have passed away. So at that point in chapter 15, no one was able to come in, but now we see this tabernacle of God now dwelling among men and every tear is wiped away. It's just this beautiful, experience that's going to take place, Mike. But it's interesting when you do that comparison of the tabernacles, and even it makes me think of Jesus. It says that he came and he tabernacled among us and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen. So Howard, I hope that helps.
Yes, it does very much. Bless you guys, and thank you very much.
Yeah, many people attribute the smoke to the Shekinah glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we understand, and this is something that I think maybe many people in 21st century America have forgotten. We serve a holy God, a righteous God, a God that in him there is no shadow of turning. Everything about God is right. Now, we all see things today in our world. Even people that aren't born again will say, boy, what's going on in this and that? And that's just not right. It's funny that within man, there's a consciousness of right and wrong. Well, in God, there is complete righteousness. And because of that, anything that doesn't line up to his holiness is sin. Now, God's desire is not to alienate people because of their sin. It's to forgive people so that we can be called his own. And again, I believe this judgment that God allows to come on the earth is so that he can reconcile the earth back to himself again. Hope that helps. Howard, stay online. Send you out some books, DVDs. Let's go to Rick Caldwell, Idaho. Hi, welcome.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How may we?
I just I want to make a comment about what your opening monologue, Mike. The pastor that was speaking just before you came on, I don't remember the program, but he was making a statement that was very similar to yours, because he was talking about people who just flop a Bible open and stick their finger in it and say, well, this is the verse for me today, and it, and they only read from where their finger is to the end of the verse. Well, you're really not in context. And
no, it's almost like fortune cookie. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I'm 71, and I learned at an early age the 20-20 rule.
And my 20
pastor,
verses
when
before
I was
and
six
20
or seven, said exactly. And if you don't do that, you're not going to get the minimum context, much less the maximum context of reading the whole chapter. You know?
Yes, absolutely.
And lots of people think that they can take the first part of Romans 8:28 and said all things work together for good, and leave out the part that says for those who are called according to His purpose,
who love God, and called according to His purpose.
You're not going to be called according to His purpose, and you're not going to love God. So there, things aren't going to work together for good. But I have to stand on that. I've been a born again since I was about 16 years old, and I'm 71 now. So it's I've seen Him work so many different ways and so many miracles and so many blessings unto different people that I can't thank Him enough for what's going on. So,
Rick, you mean God is still in the miracle-working business? Why, some church denominations say the miracles ceased with the apostles. Isn't it weird that the miracles didn't start with the apostles? They're through the whole Bible, but yet these different groups say, oh, the miracles ceased with the apostles. That which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with. Well, that which is perfect is come is not the Bible. When that is perfect is come, speaking of Jesus Christ, we won't need the miracles. We'll have Him in our presence. John, your thoughts?
Well, I love the point that Rick makes about the importance, and I think this is good for all of us to consider when reading through the Bible or listening to someone teach the Bible, that we read verses in context. And folks, what we mean by that is you read the verses before and you read the verses after, and you want to have a good understanding of the historical, grammatical, theological implications of what you're reading so that you don't take things out of context. Because when you take a passage out of context, oftentimes that's how cults get started. They just take a verse and they spin it and apply it the way they want, but they're not understanding that there's more to it. And so it's important to read the verses before and after. And that's really the best way to study the Word of God. Always read it in its context, and then you'll have a great understanding of what it is you're actually reading.
I hope that helps.
Helps me, I'll tell you that. I agree with Rick. That was a great point.
Yeah, Rick, I hope that helps, and I'm glad you called, and I'm glad you shared how God has let you see many, many things over a course of a lifetime. Amen. Are you with us, Rick?
Okay.
Well, he's with us, I think, or with someone. Right. So, Rick, it's good to have you call. Stay online. We'll send you out some books and DVDs for calling in. 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call. Let's go to Carlos White Salmon, Washington. Hi and welcome.
Hi. Thank you, Pastor Mike and Pastor John. God bless you, and thank you for taking my call. I was hearing a well-known pastor, and I just realized that it was a good exposition of the word until I heard about that forever doesn't mean forever. Forever only means until everything is done, until life lasts. So that's what I was trying to ask and find out and to make that precision. that really perked my ears off. Is it really what he meant to say, or is only to accommodate his belief that hell is not forever, or it's only until the body is consumed and it's done? So that's my question. If there is somewhere place I can find, or a book that I can see the translation, that if forever means really forever, or like everlasting or eternal, or it's according to context, it means something different.
Well, yeah, the Bible's very clear about that. And again, we find in the book of Jude, for instance. Now, this is very important to look again at the context. This is about people who started off with a relationship with God and then turned their back on God. That's what the whole book is about. People that say, oh, you know, once you accept Christ, live like hell, you're still going to heaven. I mean, after all, baby, you've put Jesus in your pocket and you're climbing to the top. Yeah, just use your magic faith words. Whammo, you get whatever you want because, hey, it's all about me. Oh, be careful, everybody. Read the book of Jude, and here's what it says to answer your question. As is Sodom and Gomorrah, this is verse 7 of the book of Jude, only one chapter long. As it was for Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities around them in similar manners to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example. Now, that example is very important. This is what it's like suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, again, vengeance of eternal fire. Wow. If it was a flash in the pan, if it's annihilation, well, then it wouldn't say eternal fire. They will be suffering eternal fire. Your thoughts, John?
Well, I think what you're hearing, Carlos, just for our listeners, there is a teaching, and I would say a false teaching, called annihilationism. And that's the belief that unbelievers will not experience the eternity of suffering in hell, but will instead be extinguished, or the word is annihilated, after death. But you have to take that particular thought and that teaching to what God's word says. And I would go with the words of Jesus, because Jesus said it very clearly in Matthew chapter 25 in verse 46. When he described this eternal punishment, he said, and these will go away into, notice this, eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So Jesus said that it's eternal. He talked about the fire that never goes out. It's unquenchable. It continues. It's eternal. And I think the belief in annihilationism is a misunderstanding of the consequences of sin, the justice of God, and or the nature of hell. But here's the thing. Jesus died so we never have to experience eternal separation from him in a real, literal place that Jesus referred to as hell, but rather we could spend eternity with him in heaven. That is God's desire. But the word eternal and the word forever, they are interchangeable. They mean the same thing. It lasts forever. It does not end. I always say, Mike, people will have eternal life, and there's only one of two places that you will spend that eternal life. There is heaven, and that's where Jesus died so that we could be there. And there's also hell. Jesus died to keep you from that. But it's a real place, Mike. Both are real.
And Jesus spoke of it with the rich man and Lazarus. Mm-hmm. Didn't speak of annihilation at all.
Right.
And so I believe that we have to be very careful with that. Everybody exists forever somewhere. It's just there. Now, going back into this, and I think it's important, Carlos, that we look at this, because the Jehovah's Witnesses teach this of annihilation, and a couple other groups out there do, because, again, the thought of being eternally judged for our rejection of God just seems too harsh. But again, this is a serious consequence for rejecting God, is this eternal judgment that God will bring. That's why I believe Jesus died on the cross. I think if it was annihilation, I don't think Jesus may would have come to die on the cross for us. Because, oh, well, they just flash in the pan, they're gone. But when you realize the eternity of a being, it's noteworthy that Lucifer, when he rebelled against God, Isaiah 14, God didn't just flash in the pan him, but no, he has an eternal existence in the lake of fire that burns forever. What would be the purpose of a lake of fire that would burn forever, which those names, as we read in Revelations, which are not found written in the book of life, are cast into? What is the purpose of an eternal lake of fire if hell is not eternal? Well, again, going back to the book of Jude here, in verse 7, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Suffering is not annihilation. So right there. Now, John, this is for you too. The Jehovah's Witnesses says, well, the earth endures forever. That's why they say once they got their 144,000th member, they said, well, they're going to heaven, but everybody after the 144,000 inherit the earth. And see, the Bible says the earth endures forever. So, John, we have to reconcile this because, again, it's very clear when we read Revelation that this earth and the heavens melt with a fervent heat. Now, I believe that what the Bible says is true. And here's an example. When the Bible says that God will forgive us of any sin, I believe that. Whatever sin we've ever committed, God will forgive us for. Except what God says he will not forgive us for. So it's a general statement, but there are exceptions in the Bible. One, sinning against the Holy Spirit, that call of repentance to turn your life over to Christ. No, I'm not going to do it. I'll do it tomorrow. I'm never going to do it. I'll do it on my deathbed. I'll wait till I have tubes running in and out of me. And you never do that. That's a sin that will not be forgiven in that you rejected the call of God to repent and you die in your sins. But is there any other ones? Absolutely. The Bible says if you take the mark of the beast in Revelation, you will not go to heaven. So when the Bible makes a statement, and then if it adds exceptions to it, I believe this is what it is talking about. So when the Jehovah's Witness says, see, the earth endures forever. Well, until the Lord is done with this earth, it will endure forever. And then it melts with a fervent heat, and God makes a new heaven and a new earth. John, any last thoughts?
No, I would agree with you, Mike, and I think that's a good explanation. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And so I think, and again, when you're talking about Jehovah's Witnesses, it's a whole nother thing you could get into, and it's not worth the time of it, but just that, you know, they don't believe that Jesus is God. And so they've had so many different translations and changes to their scriptures to fit their false doctrine. So that's just one of the many examples. But when it comes to, listen, annihilationism is not a true biblical doctrine. You go with what Jesus said. Jesus said forever. Jesus said it's for eternity. And that's exactly what it means. So some people would like to use that. But really that's not biblical. And I think, Carlos, it's a great question you ask. And I would stick to the words of Jesus as opposed to the words of whoever the pastor was that said that. Again, that's not a biblical doctrine.
So I hope that helps.
It really does, and I really appreciate your teaching and your help, and I really 100% agree with what you guys say. As I read my Bible, that's what I understand, but I was thinking, like, if there is some kind of a circumstance, or maybe, like, I mean, no Greek scholar, but, you know, the Greek have different words for different meanings, and like mm-hmm. love, for example, but then again, I just want to make sure that I know exactly when I need to talk to any person like that. And to me, to be more specific, it was an Adventist pastor that I was listening to that said that forever sometimes means until life lasts. So maybe it could be one day, 2 days, burning, and until they come to ashes. So I know it wasn't that quite right, but I want to make sure that maybe there is another place to see something different. That's a good example, like you said, the the earth will last forever, but it's not forever. It's only until some time. So I just want to make sure I'm quite in scripture. So thank you very much for your answer.
Carlos, this is exactly what I was sharing when we came on the air today, because they take a couple of verses and they disregard the rest of the verses that bring correction or a balance into what they're saying. Jesus talked about the rich man and the Lazarus. The rich man fared sumptuously every day, had everything the world could offer. He didn't do anything to help. You know, it's interesting. If you read that story up close, it says that that Lazarus, this beggar, was outside of his gates and the dogs would come up and lick his sores. People say, well, what's so special about that? He didn't even allow him to be inside of his gate to keep the dogs away. This man was in bad shape. They both died. The Bible says the angels came and got Lazarus. The rich man died and was buried. But then we find them in Abraham's bosom. Not dead, not annihilation. No, no, nothing like that. The Bible says, in fact, Abraham even brings it to him. He said, in that life, you had the nicer things. There's a gulf between us. We can't go over there. You can't come over here. Well, and he said, you know, before that, tell Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in the flame. This guy is in hell, still ordering people around. Isn't it weird? The Bible indicates that death seals us in the condition we're in. And if you die rejecting Christ, you're going to continue in that. You know, it's really weird that the Bible describes hell as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, in those days, if you gnashed your teeth at somebody, it was a facial expression of hatred. Many times in the Middle East, you'll see these people gnashing their teeth. Well, they don't like it. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, Carlos, on the other side. We'll be right back.
In 2007, when Dan Steiner, president of Preborn, cried out to God, "What can I do for you?" the answer came loud and clear.
I sense God's broken heart over the issue of abortion. You see, he sees every little baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, and it breaks his heart to see when the lifetime that he has planned for them is taken from them violently so often. But if we can get a mom into one of our clinics and show her her baby, and she has that close encounter of the best kind in her womb, she will choose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
Let's see. If something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into. And that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true. People are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $7 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network, so yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care, whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan that you're happy with. Here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes, a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE, 855-91-BIBLE.
I want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Tuesday afternoon with John, and I'm your host, Mike, and we're here to do our very best to answer questions for you. John Randall is the pastor of Calvary Chapel of South OC down by San Clemente, and I'm the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Twin Falls, Idaho, or the River Christian Fellowship there. And we want to just once again just invite you to come to church. You'll be blessed as we study God's Word together. Now, going back to the phones, we had Carlos on the line. And again, understanding these words that are in the Bible. And unfortunately, I've heard well-meaning pastors say, oh, well, whatever it is, God will forgive you of anything. And somebody asked one time in a meeting, will God forgive you taking the mark of the beast? Oh, yes, he'll forgive you of that. No, he won't. And when somebody sets out to counteract God's word, I have a problem with that. When God makes an exception, we then understand that this is an outline that we have to follow. And so when the Bible says the earth lasts forever, I believe that until God is done with it, and then we get a new earth. So you could actually say, well, this earth, kind of God makes a new one, so does the earth last forever? Oh, yes, we're always going to have a dwelling place. John, any last thoughts?
Oh, Mike, I think you covered it very well. And I think, again, just I would go back to the words of Jesus. And if the words of Jesus contradict what someone's saying, I'm going to always side with Jesus. And I think that's really important to know the scriptures, to know what we believe. And of course, why we believe it. And so it's a great question. And, it's important to make it clear.
Carlos, I hope that helps.
It does, really, dear. Thank you very much. I'm really appreciated that you guys answered my question. I'm always learning and growing up in the Lord. So thank you very much. God bless.
God bless you, too. And again, his word endures forever. And that we do know. Let's go to Teresa, Sandpoint, Idaho. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Pastor. Thank you for taking my call.
So yes, how may we help?
Rightly dividing the word. We've been listening to a pastor who does teach rightly dividing the word and how we're supposed to interpret the Bible versus hermeneutics, which he says has been derived from the Greek myth god Hermes, which is, you know, he's a trickster and all this bad news. What's the difference, and is that true?
Well, actually, the word hermeneutics does come from the word Hermes. Hermes was the Greek god of interpretation. Hermes was the go-between between the gods and human beings. So it's interesting that they use this word in incorporating it. And there's other hermeneutics that are out there describing other things. But when it comes to the Bible, what is the Bible saying about that particular topic? John, your thoughts.
Yeah, biblical hermeneutics is a way in which the Bible is to be interpreted literally. There's certain laws that you apply when interpreting scripture. So the Bible should be interpreted literally. We should understand the plain meaning, the normal plain meaning, unless a passage is supposed to be symbolic and it says it represents something else. Another law of biblical hermeneutics is that a passage has to be interpreted historically, grammatically, and contextually. That is also important if you're going to accurately interpret scripture. And then another law of biblical hermeneutics is that scripture is always the best interpreter of scripture. So the best commentary, we would say, on scripture is scripture. And so when I'm interpreting something, when I'm reading the scriptures, and if I use another scripture that contradicts what I'm saying, the scriptures aren't wrong, I'm wrong. And so I use the biblical, basically the law of hermeneutics, as it were, to interpret scripture. And then it's important to do this. And I think some people avoid this because they believe it's going to limit their ability. But I think it's very helpful in when it comes to accurately. You know, Paul encouraged Timothy. You remember, he said to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he said, do your best to present yourself, one to God, approved, a worker who, as you said, rightly divides, handles the truth properly. And hermeneutics is basically applying those principles when you look at scripture and when you present it. So every week when I go to prepare, to teach, etc., I'm looking at the scriptures literally. I'm interpreting them historically, grammatically, contextually, and I am using scripture to interpret scripture so that I don't get off track, Mike.
Yeah, and if we come across something in the scripture that seems to be unreasonable, then we're probably not aware of the conditions of that verse. God is a reasonable God. He's an understandable God. He isn't a God that goes out on tangents, but he's logical. He's understanding. All things were made by him. When I look at creation and I see the leaves fall off the trees in the wintertime so the snow doesn't get on the leaves and break the branches. In fact, sometimes that does happen, early snows. You realize God's design is amazing. When you look at yourself, in the book of Proverbs, it says, the eye and the ear, God made both of them. Do you realize then the whole evolutionary idea that they cannot explain the eye and the ear? How did the eye form at the same time the optic nerve formed, at the same time the tear duct formed, at the same time the eyelid formed, at the same time receptors in the brain could interpret what's coming down the optic nerve? That it would have sensors to blink when necessary and to focus and to have light control by dilating the pupil. None of that makes sense in evolution. It's impossible. And thus it is for the ear as well. All those parts had to happen exactly at the same time, which means there had to be a creation, something evolutionists don't like to believe in. Well, this is the problem. And again, when you study, there's no fossil records of anything changing, living or fossilized, you realize that, well, God's word is true. So that's why I believe, again, as we look at this, we can realize we can take God's word literally for what it says. Hope that helps.
Thank you. It does. Thank you.
Teresa, stay on the line if you like. Send you out some books, DVDs. I think you'll like and share them with your friends. If you need more, let us know. That's why we're here. Let's go to Mary in Cusco, Idaho. Hi and welcome.
Who's this?
Mary. Hi, Mary. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Well, anyway, how can we help?
I have a rare muscle disease. It's a genetic. My grandmother had it. My mom had it. My younger brother had it. His son has it. My son has it. Anyway, it's called periodic paralysis or hypokalemic periodic paralysis. And my daughter said I needed to call you because, first of all, I do not wish this disease on anybody. In fact, I pray that God will open doors to get rid of it. But the only one I feel like he deserves it is Satan himself. So,
amen.
He's the only one that I feel that should end up with this, because he's the one that caused it.
Yeah, it's part of a going back to the garden. He's been trying to kill human beings ever since. Your thoughts, John?
Well, I would love to pray for you, Mary. Yes. and just lift you up to the Lord and pray that the grace of God would be sufficient in this season of suffering. And I just pray that you would sense his presence in the midst of what you're going through. Our hearts go out to you. And, it just makes us long for that day, Mike, when the Bible says we're going to end up in a place of no more, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. No more disease. The former things have passed away. And I'm sure that there are many people, even like our friend Mary here today, our sister in Christ, who are also listening and struggling through illnesses or diagnoses that are painful and difficult. And, but our heart goes out to you today, Mary. And I would love to pray for you today. Mike, can I do that?
You please. That All would right. be great. We and pray for those that are suffering with illnesses similar to what Mary have that really doctors don't have a real cure for.
Right. Lord, we do come before you today and we thank you for this call from our sister, Lord, and our friend Mary. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, as we pray and those listening, Lord, in their car, in their home or at their job, on their computer, Lord, just collectively, one voice, Lord, just petitioning heaven right now for the touch of your spirit, Lord, upon Mary, Lord. And we know doctors don't necessarily have answers, but we know that you are the great physician. And Lord, it'd be our desire that you would heal her body, even as we pray that, Lord, the pain that she feels, the paralysis that comes upon her,
yes,
would be lifted. And we pray for others today, Lord, who are listening and who are struggling and wondering why. God, I pray that you would minister to them your presence, your peace, your assurance through the promises, Lord, that you've given. And Lord, we ask this in faith today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, that is our prayer. And Mary, we'll be trusting God that we're all going to be healed real soon, okay?
Yes, he's the one that keeps me going, and I'm thankful that he's right here with me constantly.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Mary. Well, stay online, dear, and we'll send you out some books and DVDs that you can share with your friend, your family, and if you need more, just let me know, okay? God bless you, dear. Let's go to Braden in Wyoming. Hi, and welcome.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
How may we help?
Are you there?
We are. How may we help?
Yes, sir. I just have a question for you regarding when God came down in a burning bush and was talking with Moses. And
yes.
So God tells Moses to go and to free his people from slavery from Pharaoh.
Yes.
But then God tells Moses that he's going to harden Pharaoh's heart. And I was wondering why that is.
Well, because of the way that what God does. Now, that's not the only instance in the Bible where God hardened people's hearts. Now, let's stop real quick and look at this a little bit differently, because we kind of get a kind of a weird mindset here. The more miracles Jesus did, the harder the Pharisees' heart got. In fact, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, they said, now we not only have to kill Jesus, but we must kill Lazarus also. Why is that? A living example of the power of God. They didn't want that. Now, God was demonstrating to Pharaoh that he's God. Pharaoh, you're not. The more miracles that Jesus did that hardened the Pharisees' heart, the more miracles that Moses did, the harder Pharaoh's heart got. Isn't that amazing? So did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Well, yes, in that he supplied the miracle, but how Pharaoh reacted to it was his decision. It's the old saying, the same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. Many people in Jesus' day, and he even said that, if the miracles that I did were done in these other towns, they would have repented long ago. But their hearts were so hard, the more miracles, the more they hated him. Isn't that weird? Now, we find this with Pharaoh. The more miracles he did, the harder his heart got. Your thoughts?
Well, I think a couple things to consider, and I appreciate the question, Braden. I think we're getting into an area that we are limited in complete knowledge when we're dealing with the sovereignty of God. But what we do know, there are things that we can comprehend. But keep this in mind, too, that Pharaoh wasn't innocent. He wasn't a godly man. He was a brutal dictator overseeing 1.5 million, 2 million people and oppressing them and into slavery and bondage. And let's also not forget that in addition to enslaving the nation of Israel, that he also ordered the death of innocent male babies, according to Exodus chapter 1, verse 16, committing infanticide. So this man's heart was already hard, and he was an evil man, and the nation that he ruled over carried out these evil actions. We also know from Scripture that there were at least a couple of times that it says in the book of Exodus, chapter 8, where it says that Pharaoh actually hardened his own heart. That God gave him opportunity, and he in turn hardened his heart in response. And it's almost as if Pharaoh hardens his heart and then God solidifies his hardened heart that he already knew was going to be hardened. It was hardened before he even got there. And any plague that came upon him, it didn't matter. He still would not repent. It's difficult for us to understand that, but even in the midst of Pharaoh hardening his heart, God had a plan and a purpose, and God was going to deliver the nation of Israel. But it's a good question, you know, from a human perspective, just strictly human perspective, we would think, how could God allow that? But Pharaoh's heart was hardened already before the Lord ever got there. And I think the Lord's just letting Moses know in advance, listen, you're going down there and you're going to try to reason with this guy, but he's unreasonable and eventually he's going to harden his heart and I'm going to solidify that decision that he's made. He's already hardened his heart and I have hardened his heart. And I think, Mike, there comes a point in a person's life when you can harden your heart and harden your heart and harden your heart and God,
that's okay.
Lets you harden your heart.
Yeah. And I think you want to stay that way, you stay that way.
Yeah, there were times when God hardened his heart and there were times when Pharaoh hardened his heart. So God solidified that decision.
Yeah, and the only thing we ever find, this is so important, that God did to Pharaoh was show him miracles. And the more miracles God showed him at the hand of Moses, the harder his heart got. No, well, you know, but people like to conjure verses. Well, there one night, there in Cairo, while Pharaoh was asleep, God mixed up some magic cement and poured it down his throat and hardened his heart. No, it doesn't say that, does it? The only thing that we find that God ever did, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. What do we find? Evidence. I want to see evidence. If I come in to a crime scene, if I come in to something, I want to see what the evidence is. What is the only thing the Bible says that God did to Pharaoh? Showed him miracle after miracle after miracle. And the harder his heart got. And yes, I do believe that, John. God gives people up, the Bible says, to a reprobate mind. What a tragic place to be, where no matter what God does then, doesn't change their heart. Hope that helps, Braden.
Yes, it did. Thank you very much. It did.
God bless you. Stay on the line if you like. Send you out some books, DVDs. Let's go to Jen, Coos Bay, Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. How may we help?
Good. Just one question. Earlier you said that I've always believed in the scripture that there was one sin that kept us from the sin that kept us from God, a singular sin. And you said there was other sins. And my question is, the singular sin would be the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit or rejecting the free gift of grace that God given us. And then you said also that there was the mark of the beast. But I understand that. But if you don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit, if you accept the free gift of grace, then that would be the only thing that would keep you separated from God in heaven. Am I off or on? Or?
Well, the Bible says if you take the mark, you won't go to heaven. It doesn't say there's any forgiveness. There's no repentance for that. I just take the Bible for what it says. And here's the big thing we have to remember. You have angels flying through the midst of heaven, warning people on the earth, do not take the mark. You have the two prophets in the streets of Jerusalem saying, do not take the mark. You have the 144,000 Jews, chapter 7, that are servants of God, telling people on the earth, don't take the mark. And then for somebody to come along, and there's some fairly well-known ministers adored in many Christian circles that say, oh, yeah, you can take the mark of the beast and still go to heaven. Friends, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes on Judgment Day. Your thoughts?
Well, I would say if you take the mark of the beast, you have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. I mean, that just seals your faith.
Yeah, I guess that would be a way.
Yeah, I would say that would be you, because the work of the Spirit, Jens, we want to remember that the work of the Spirit is to draw all men to Jesus. And at that point in the tribulation period, it says that there will be judgments coming from the throne of God. People will know that they are actually coming from heaven. And they will say, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. They know where it's coming from, and they still choose, can I say to you, blaspheme the Spirit and not repent. And they take the mark of the beast. So to take that mark is to blaspheme the Spirit. And again, the Bible is clear that if you take that mark, there is no salvation after that. So there is one sin that is unpardonable, as you mentioned, Jesus spoke of it. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And that sin is to reject the work of the Holy Spirit, which is to draw us to Jesus in salvation. You take the mark, you have definitely blasphemed the spirit. And again, you're in the tribulation period. There's going to be people that could be saved during that time. But according to scripture, those that take that mark will not be spared.
So I hope that helps.
Yep. Thank you, gentlemen. God bless you too. Appreciate your ministry, the ministry God has for you guys.
Blessings to you too. Stay online if you like. Send you out some books, DVDs. Let's go to Paul, Crescent City, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Yes, I'd like to read something Billy Graham said in 1981. I don't want to see any religious bigotry in any form. It would disturb me if there was a wedding between the religious fundamentalists and the political right. The hard right has no interest in religion except to manipulate it. And I think that in part, is where we are today. How do you square that with the way they immigrants were treated and then turn around and invite people from South Africa?
Well, when you break into a country, and that's what they did, they crawled under fences, over fences, came in boats around the border, you broke the law. And you don't reward people for breaking the law. That's what the Biden administration, several of them did before then. You can't do that. Do you realize there's not a country on earth that allows this? Do you know if you go to Mexico, you break into that country, you end up in prison forever, just about. Now, again, when you stop to realize you cannot reward criminal behavior. There are people all over the world that want to immigrate to the United States. And yet when these people push and shove and knock everybody out of the way because they break the law, and they put people who tried to do it legitimately by going through immigration channels, they're bullies. That's all they are. Me first. I'm in line first. I don't care about people who are trying to do it legally. I'm going to do it. I'm going to break in. Well, no, I think this is where the real problems come from. Almost everybody in America immigrated. Even the Indians immigrated to America from Asia. That's right, everybody. So we all got here from somewhere else. But if you're going to break the law and expect lots of free stuff, we got a problem. And see, this is where it is. The reason why we have immigration laws is so our society can assimilate people coming in an orderly fashion. That is so important. That way it doesn't strain the housing situation or the food chain or all the other things that we all need on a daily basis. But when you dump 20 million illegal people into your country that broke the law to get here, no, you're shoving everybody who's legitimate out of the way because you can only assimilate so much. When Obama said our broken immigration system was a lie, everyone, he lied to us. There was nothing wrong with our immigration system. It was the federal government and him who failed to enforce the law. That's bulletproof. That's not conspiracy. That's what the law is. And those laws were written so it would be graduated, not to overwhelm. Your thoughts, John?
Yeah, this is a very hot topic. But I think when you just look at the Bible has to say about the importance of borders, the importance of laws in a society, we're not doing anything that is wrong. In fact, let's look at, you know, these people who are coming in, who are bringing in children and human trafficking of children. Right. And if that is a crime, this is a humanitarian issue. So this is not, and it's biblical. God's not pleased, let alone the fentanyl crisis and how many drugs are coming across the border, killing our young people, people ODing, children being trafficked. You have these criminals coming in and brutalizing people in neighborhoods. Listen, what's going on right now is a blessing. Oh, Lord, continue to strengthen those who are at the border. They've had less border crossings than they've ever had in any presidency as a result of what's happening. So our prayers are with those. They got to come here legally. That's the right way to do it.
Amen. And so that's all we're saying. You know, we want to, hey, listen, if we go to them to tell them about the Lord, but we just want to see law done. Because what it does, it hurts everybody else that tries to keep the law. Stay on the line, Paul. We're all out of time. And the rest, please call us back. We'll pitch on first thing tomorrow. Thanks again, John, for being on. Look forward to being back with you. Keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh.
Call 1-800-357-4226. Or write us to Every Man an Answer. P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.